Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Thursday, 23 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. Reminder, today is day two of the Better Investor Conference with MoneyWeb. You can watch live from 9 o'clock on the MoneyWeb website or the app. On the show today, chatting with Komal Mapurwani, I want to touch on that inflation number. We've been sitting here all smug and suddenly ours comes in at 6.5. And the Stadio update, thoughts around that, sort of education stocks generally. Aframat, Construction Index, chatting with Dr. Roelof Botha. SOEs are still not spending. And then John Lewis from FNB talking on hotel income statistics that he's pulled out. These are for April. We're seeing a recovery, but it is slow. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. What to look for in the upcoming results from NASPAS and Prosus due Monday. We obviously get some insight because of Tencent, but there's some other nuances worth looking into. Business day, markets pricing more rate hikes after CPI exceeds forecasts. Consumer price index 6.5%. Market had expected 6.2%. Morning markets, the US was red, both the S&P and the NASDAQ down 0.15%. Asia is mixed, Sydney up 0.25% and Tokyo down a few points, literally. Commodities mixed overnight, gold, $1,836, Brent, $108.76 a barrel, platinum, $927, palladium, $1,869, the rand trading 16, top 40, 10 points to the red. Let's call that a flat opening as Tencent trades up 1.3% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Komal Mapurwani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. Komal, appreciate the early morning. The inflation number at 6.5%. I said in the intro there, we had been sitting all sort of smug, I suspect. You know, UK at 9.1, the US at 8.6. Suddenly, we're starting to see some inflation. I suppose the good news is our Reserve Bank has already been rising rates in anticipation.
Absolutely. It's, as you've mentioned, definitely above consensus, comparing it to April, which is only up 5.9. And I think more importantly, we've now breached the Reserve Bank target range for inflation, which had a top level of 6%. So definitely concerning, but shouldn't be surprising, as you've said.
And it could potentially be. I mean, I suppose the big one is going to be energy prices. But we've already seen those increases coming through. My sense is we've probably got a couple of months of high, and then maybe we start to drift back into that sort of 3 to 6% range. In other words, a few more rate increases, but then maybe, hopefully, the Reserve Bank starts to pause.
I think so. I think initially, because of this high number that's come out, we may see a front loading of the increase for interest rates. So let's see what happens in July. The next meeting. Mm-hmm. But I think following from that, we need to see it's about a 6 to 12 month lag to see the impact of interest rate increases. So as you've mentioned, maybe in the next 12 months, we'll see a pullback. Unfortunately, I suppose, for the economy, but something that is definitely needed.
Yeah. Stadio AGM yesterday, they had they put out a short trading update. Your thoughts around, typically education is considered to be moderately defensive. People will spend on educating their children. We've got a couple, Stadio, Advitec, and of course, Curo as well. Your take on the Stadio update and the sector generally, preferences perhaps?
I guess it's a tough question. If you look in China, towards the end of last year, they had a big clampdown on education for profit, specifically online, which is totally different to our market in South Africa. And as you've mentioned, Stadio has seen their numbers rising quite strongly, 11% year on year for them in terms of student numbers. But it's basically where we are drifting towards. I think the pandemic has expedited that, in terms of the focus on online learning, and they're looking to have sort of an 80% online contingent in terms of student numbers. So definitely heading in that direction. But as we know, it's education such a contentious topic in South Africa, specifically between private and public. So It looks like a strong number for them. In terms of the guidance that was provided, it looks very healthy. So let's see where they go.
A quick last question, and I'm not sure if you caught it. Marion Roberts had an update, a presentation with from a bunch of their sector heads as well. It's a stock that was doing very well, but it's a sector that remains under pressure. I've got the AFRIMAT Construction Index immediately after you, and man, there's just not much spending happening there within South Africa. All of these construction stocks are making their money in Australia, I suspect.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we saw the big impact for WBHO a few months ago, where the stock price just fell, the bottom came out. And as you've mentioned, it seems to be everyone's making money in Australia. And if you look at the infrastructure in South Africa, that in and of itself tells, you know, the lag in terms of trying to get the numbers back up. I haven't had a look at the Marion Roberts, so I can't comment on that. But I think the overall construction has had a really tough time since, I suppose, the World Cup, you could say.
Actually, it probably is, which is what exactly. It's 12 years this month since the World Cup. Since then, we seem to have built hardly anything. I'd forgotten about that Wilson Bailey, an ugly-looking chart there. Carmen Meporani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. And our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles is those education stocks, Advitech, Curro, Stadio. Carmen makes the point there that it's a weird space, because in the one sense, yes, hugely important. In the other sense, should we be paying? Surely it should be something the state supplies for us. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Turning now with Dr. Roelof Botha, talking the AFRIMAT Construction Index for first quarter of 2022. Roelof, appreciate the early morning time. The index shows us an improvement against the first quarter of last year. I imagine there's probably some the fact that sort of less lockdown in 22 versus 21. Broadly, construction, it remains subdued. We're not seeing a boom, we're not seeing a collapse, but it's very much sort of bumbling along and very subdued.
Yes, and as we all know, it's a pity, because the need for more construction activity in South Africa is glaringly obvious. Doesn't matter where you are, whether it's roads, whether it's shelter, whether it's pipelines expanding our harbors so that these literally thousands of trucks don't have to go to Maputo all the time to get coal out of the country. I mean, it's just crazy. The incompetence within the public sector with regard to public sector capital formation, that is without a shadow of doubt the main problem.
I saw that, and it was the point that absolutely stood out to me, is that the public sector, state-owned enterprises, are just not spending on capital formation. The private sector is. There's certainly activity happening there, but our government isn't spending. And to your point, you know, building roads and harbours and hospitals is not only good for the economy because it's infrastructure, it's good for the economy because it also creates economic activity and, of course, jobs.
Yes, the beauty of the construction sector, and way back when I was still teaching economics at the University of Joburg, when it was Rand Afrikaans University, I did an extensive study on the concept of inward industrialization, which it's a concept which I first got interested in under one of my mentors, Professor Jan Lombard, who used to be one of the deputy governors of the Reserve Bank and head of Tucky's economics department. And essentially, if you can, especially with a low-cost, the RDP housing drive, the low-cost housing, which is, it had its faults, but it provided decent shelter for more than 3.5 million South Africans during Mbeki's, towards the end of Mandela's reign and then Mbeki's term of office. Is that if you build a basic, house, brick and mortar, decent house, virtually everything that goes into that house is local. You don't import the roof, you don't import the poles and the bricks. You make them in South Africa. So you can create. So it's the most labor-intensive sector of the economy. It's more labor-intensive than agriculture. And it's such a huge opportunity for the government to really get cracking on this. But the so-called lost decade, as Trevor Manuel has called it, under the previous president, which we are still going to pay a price for that well into the future, unfortunately. The damage that was inflicted on this economy as a result of the incompetence and the bungling and the theft and the corruption during his term of office is just something which cannot be eradicated overnight. As long as we start moving in the right direction, that would be good. But it's a long road ahead.
It's a long road, and that right direction, and it comes back to lack of capital formation from the government, almost in a sense a lack of capacity to I don't know, to spend, to allocate, to make those decisions to happen. Because how does our economy grow at the 5, 6, 7, 8% that we need if, to your point, you know, we've got to put coal on trucks and send it to Maputo because Transnet can't get it to the purpose-built harbour in Richards Bay.
Yes, I mean, it's just crazy if I can just move off construction for a second.
Sure.
I mean, the issue now of licences for tour operators to be able to transport tourists, some of those licence applications are 4 years, hundreds of them, 4 years outstanding. They've been waiting for 4 years for the Department of Transport to approve it. Now, this is a small firm which has a roadworthy vehicle. It's licensed. The driver is licensed, and they cannot approve. You know, the fact that this guy, this person can transport a couple of tourists on a game lodge to watch some lions. This is absolutely crazy. If you cannot even comply with such a simple, unbelievably simple, something that should take a day, bureaucratic regulation. Then how the hell are you going to expand Durban's harbour? That is more tricky, without a shadow of doubt. That requires a much broader range of skills and obviously a lot more money.
Yeah.
So quite frankly, the incompetence in the public sector in this country needs to be addressed post haste.
Yeah, post haste. And at the point, the private sector capital formation, it's growing. It's still below pandemic levels, but it has been growing. But we don't have the levers. The private sector is just that private. We don't have the levers. We don't have the benefit of state, which is simply, at this point, not doing it all. Dr. Rolf Botha, talking the AfriMat Construction Index for first quarter this year. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with John Lewis, property sector strategist at FNB Commercial Property Finance. John, appreciate the early morning time. You pulled the data on April hotel income statistics. The short answer is we're still not back at pre-pandemic levels. We see income down just over a third, occupancies at a third versus 48.9. We're recovering, well, the sector's recovering, but it's some way behind those 2019 pre-pandemic numbers.
That's right. You are 34% down on April 2019, Simon. So long way to go. It's almost, I would say, not surprising. I know lockdown regulations are by and large gone, but there's a whole lot of headwinds that still plague it. One thing I think one has to realize is that if you look at leisure tourism, that's often on the back burner for households that took an income knock over this big recession of 2020. So that probably struggles to catch up as households repair their incomes. And on the business side too, I think it's a similar thing, financially pressured, but we've also Zoomified a lot of our corporate interactions. So we don't jump on a plane at the drop of a hat to go to Cape Town for a few meetings and stay overnight in a hotel. And I think that that's a more permanent structural change. We do a lot more of our interaction online. And so a portion of that travel doesn't come back, I guess.
And that's a good point, because I'm one of those folks who would, you know, I would spend, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 nights a year in a hotel because I was somewhere doing a presentation or something like that. And that is just, it hasn't reduced. It has vanished. It is just now zero. And I appreciate some folks are going back to it, but that is a structural change. It's gone. It's business that has just, disappeared into the ether as businesses have learned the whole online story.
It is. You know, it's amazing how we just carried on in our way of operating, jumping on planes, traveling around. I mean, it's not only costly in terms of flights and hotels, it's also time-consuming. It's a whole day or two or, you know, whatever it might be of travel, and it's unproductive. This is one of the benefits of the forced lockdowns is that it showed us how to work more efficiently and time-efficiently, but on the downside, It's for the hotel sector in the short term, I think that's a big challenge. That part of the hotel sector that depends on business travel heavily, I think.
The price inflation within the hotels certainly was moving higher. That suggests they're getting more money per room night. But I suspect input costs are also rising and potentially are offsetting the rate increases that they can put through, because simply the hotels don't have that pricing power right now because of the amount of capacity.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think their pricing power has definitely improved from what it was in the lockdowns. And at one stage in late 2020, I mean, the hotel accommodation and restaurant CPI was in deflation. And that's now a lot better. That's at 5.6% in the April numbers. So there is more pricing power. Yeah, I don't think that reflects necessarily a massive increase in profitability, but it looks like they are able to pass inflationary increases on to their clients more than what they were 2 years ago.
You mentioned people traveling for leisure, and to the point, it's a tough economy out there, and I think many folks may be just going down the road to Vereeniging to visit family rather than catching an aeroplane to Cape Town or somewhere. Do we get any sense on international, or is that data not available within the set?
No, I'm not clear on internationals at the moment, but I think so there are a couple of headwinds for both international and domestic tourists. Forget about, apart from the big recession that many will be recovering from still, but then there's this inflation surge. The cost of living is rising more sharply, not only here but globally for many people. And, of course, interest rates are rising too, and that's, the cost of credit or servicing debt going up. So what do a portion of leisure tourists or aspirant leisure tourists do? You reprioritize expenditure. You focus more on the basics. So, that too, I think, is challenging for leisure tourism, which is largely a non-essential item.
Yeah, and I take your point. It's not just South Africans under pressure. It's Brits, it's Europeans, it's Americans, it's the Chinese, everyone. It is a tough planet right now to be a consumer. John Luce, property sector strategist, FNB Commercial Property Finance. John, appreciate the early morning insight as always. That's it for today. Chatting with yesterday around Brait, they obviously had some results, but also they want to list their food business, Premier. And they say when market conditions improve. So this could be a while. We don't know when that'll happen. But the question we asked is it a listing that you're excited for? And it was pretty much almost evenly split, with just under half of you saying, yep, it's a great business, you like it. But edging it was the nays who's saying, not the best, just over 50-odd% saying, yeah, not an interesting one for you. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow in Better Investor Conference live in just over 2 hours.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.